Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
It's the Search Update.
That's right. Top of every hour, 6 A to 6 P. Sports Radio 610 will update you on the most recent news of the head coach search. And the most recent news, the Houston Texans, they tweet, "The Houston Texans have continued discussions about the vacant head coach position with Jim Caldwell." Hold up now. And get this. Josh McCown, who still has 1 year left on his contract as a second or third string quarterback, journeyman in this league. Interesting tweet from the Houston Texans. And look, perfect timing. We are joined by NFL Hall of Famer, good friend of the station, obviously, John McClain.
Please,
John, thank you for joining us at this moment, because this is hotter than a firecracker, brother. What do you make of the most recent tweet that the Houston Texans posted? I believe that was 30, 40 minutes ago.
Well, first of all, Josh McCown is not going to be the next head coach here. Jim Caldwell is a bigger story, because that means he was interviewed by the search committee and he doesn't have a chance to be the head coach until Nick Caserio interviewed him. So Caserio has now doubled back and interviewed Caldwell. I still think it's going to come down to Leslie Frazier and Eric Bieniemy. There's one national report. Matt Eberflus has the inside track. I think it's going to be Frazier or Bieniemy. As far as McCown, you know, that would be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, to take a guy that's never coached and make him a head coach. That's not going to happen. But he could end up being like assistant quarterbacks coach to Tim Kelly, who I think will be back no matter who they hire as the offensive coordinator and play caller. Could be they want to just help McCown get some publicity nationally. Eagles offered him a coaching job when he left there, and he thanked them but said, no, I want to keep playing as long as I can. And people do think McCown will be a coach, but he's got to work his way up the ranks, and maybe this is the place he will start working his way up.
John, again, I mean, why? I mean, help us make sense of why, given all the everything that's swirling around the Houston Texans right now, why would they choose to tweet this out and include Josh McCown in the process? Help us make sense of why that makes sense.
Because they wanted to pick his brain. I'm sure the guy's been around for what, like 30 years. I'm sure Nick Caserio wanted to talk to him, see about everything he thought. Nick wasn't here working with him this year, and so he doesn't know anything about what he thinks, and so he wanted to pick his brain. I don't see anything wrong with interviewing Josh McCown. Hell, they could interview Clint Sterner. What's the big deal if he's not going to get the head coaching job? The bigger issue, who is going to get hired for the head coaching job?
John, you just said several things that I just want to stick my head in water with. First off, now Tim Kelly's just going to be on the offensive staff no matter who the head coach is. That's craziness. That he would just be on the staff no matter who the coach is.
I think that they've interviewed everybody. They've talked to him about Tim Kelly and what he did with Deshaun Watson, how Watson wants him to stay, and it was his first year as a play caller. And people say, I don't want Tim Kelly. And I would say to them, were you better in your second year at your job as you were at your first? And I'm pretty sure everybody, including all three of us, would say I was better with the more experience I got. But that's what I think. I may be wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
No, it just doesn't make. It's like he'll be learning the offense at the same time of the people he's supposed to be teaching it to. The other thing is,
Wait a minute. Who's learning the offense?
I'm just saying, I would imagine, let's say it's Eric Bieniemy that comes in. He's learning a brand new offense, right? Tim Kelly would be learning the offense that Eric Bieniemy wants to run.
Well, Eric's never called plays, so he's going to need a play caller.
Yeah, but
I
he's
doubt
not running
he's
this
step in and start.
He's not running the Bill O'Brien
the
offense,
time.
Though.
And so Eric Bieniemy comes in, and I see a lot of similarities with what the Chiefs have done, the games I've covered the last 3 years, with some things that the Texans do. So it wouldn't be that difficult of a transition.
Okay. And then the other thing there, John, you don't think, like, it's not wild that they would interview Josh McCown? Like, that doesn't, like, we're in the home stretch, right? The Texans are looked at as a joke, as a laughing stock right now. And this is a joke. This is a joke to interview you just said, I think he'd be a good assistant quarterbacks coach to Tim Kelly. And he's going to be interviewed for a head coaching job? Hell, Byron Leftwich hasn't got interviewed for a head coaching job. And he's a successful offensive coordinator. You continue to make yourself look like a laughingstock when you say you're going to interview someone who's never coached before to be your
head coach. That's a good point.
Eyebrows
are raised all across the NFL, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the big picture deal here for me is that, I mean, it just...
I just lost 4 pounds.
I mean, the national narrative, and I know clearly they don't give a rip, but at some point you got to start giving a rip, because this kind of thing, the more you just throw gas on the fire, it leads to bigger issues and bigger problems, and the problems that you have in-house continue to grow. And there's no way with the problems that we know that are going on right now between Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Again, whether they're communicating or not, which I don't believe they're communicating at all. I think Deshaun's completely cut him out. But there's no way he looks at this and goes, bam, I can't wait to get back in there and win a championship with this crew.
Doesn't matter what he thinks right now. It's the only thing that matters who they are as head coach. And it won't be Josh McCown. Then when they are the head coach, then it's important what Watson thinks about the new head coach.
Mm. So all right, because you're pretty sure, and I take your word for it. You said there is no chance it would be Josh McDaniels, and there has been no connection here. And you think there is no chance for them bringing in Josh McCown. So if there's no chance that he's going to be the coach, why are we interviewing people who we don't have a chance to be the head coach for the head coaching vacancy? They can just talk to him.
The only reason I could think of is because Sario wanted to pick his brain. Jack Easterby signed him. Maybe Easterby wants to help him get some publicity. I have no idea why they interviewed Josh McCown, unless it's to just see if they think he's got a chance to be somebody that the new head coach might want to keep on his staff. Or
Sports Radio 610.
Keep going, John. Sorry about that, Chief.
That's all right.
You said or. What? Give me your thought.
Or it could be that one of the candidates they like was thinking about keeping him in some capacity, and he knows him and thinks a lot of him, and he wanted to see what they think. But they don't have to announce that it's for the head coaching job because they're getting laughed at.
Bingo. Now we got there. We got there with John. That's NFL Hall of Famer John McClain joining us on Sports Radio 610. I'm Clint Sterner. This is Rod and the show, Ugly. Houston sports leader, baby. This is it's hot right now. John, let's jump to a few of the guys that we think, I don't want to say no, that we think are clear candidates for this head coach job. Who do you think that it's down to right now? Your best guess, John McClain's best guess. Who is it down to right now for the next head coach for the Houston Texans?
They've interviewed 8, and if you count McCown, that would be 9. I think it's down to Leslie Frazier, Eric Bieniemy, Matt Eberflus, and Jim Caldwell. But that would be the final 4. And then they've got to, I don't know if they're going to do more Zooms or they're going to ask the finalists to come in for in-person interviews. But that's what I believe.
Who do you think, I'm sorry, when do you think that an announcement will be made?
Well, it depends on who gets another round of interviews. That'll help. They can't hire the winner of the AFC Championship game. So if, say, Leslie Frazier loses, as he should, as a defensive coordinator to Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, they could interview him immediately, and they have to wait till Bieniemy's through with the Super Bowl and they might want to bring Frazier in. They might not. Caldwell, he might be on his way in. You know, they like these four guys a lot for different reasons. But I don't know that it'll happen next week, but it could. If they don't bring anybody in next week, it's because they're waiting on the Super Bowl coach to be their head coach. They're all working to put together staffs right now.
John, talk to me about Deshaun Watson. I mean, obviously there's that's the elephant in the room with all of this. I think the hire is going to impact him. When I hear you talk, it seems like you think that's kind of an afterthought in terms of this head coach. But where are you at right now with or what do you know about Deshaun Watson right now? Is he actively communicating? Is he not? Is he mad? Is he angry? Is he confused? Where does Deshaun sit right now?
I don't know. Last time I heard, he was sitting in New York up with his business people, getting his business manager a new BMW, which he put on Instagram, doing some business and some having a fun time in New York. So I don't know. Aaron Wilson wrote this week to Cal McNair to apologize for the miscommunication on the GM, and they all said they'll keep him up to date on what they're doing with the head coach. So I'm guessing they're texting him. I don't know if he's getting back to him or not, but we won't know any more about Deshaun until we see who the head coach is, the system, the offensive coordinator, and then maybe they can finally talk to him.
Who do you think out of this group right here, how do you think Deshaun Watson responds? Just rapid fire. How do you think Deshaun Watson responds to Leslie Frazier?
I think he would respond well to him. I've been talking to people that played for him, coached with him, worked with him for the last three jobs. And a friend in Tampa said he reminded everybody of Tony Dungy, his personality and the way he dealt with players and the way they respected him. And so I think he loved Leslie Frazier, as I think he would love Eric Bieniemy. He knows Matt Eberflus, talked to Matt Eberflus after the last game. He told us he'd never met Bieniemy other than just shaking hands with him after games. And I'm sure he does not know Jim Caldwell.
John, is there a chance? Is there a chance? Because I'm as we speak, I'm breaking news of the Houston Texans announcing that they've met with Jim Caldwell again, and they've met with Josh McCown, current third string quarterback, I guess second string quarterback, because I think McCarron's contract was up. Nonetheless, backup quarterback for the Texans. Is there any chance that the Josh McCown tie could possibly be the Doug Peterson tie offense, the offense that Doug had in Philly, which Josh was in most recently, and the fact that that offense, I would imagine, is very similar to what Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City would do? Is it fair to make that tie, or is that a stretch?
I think that's a long stretch.
Oh, long stretch.
Long stretch. All right, that is John McClain. Boy, nobody better in the world to have on right now during this. Josh McCown and Jim Caldwell, Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reported there were actual interviews done with them today for their head coaching vacancy. John McClain with us throughout the entire hour. We'll continue this discussion on what the Texans are doing. That's next.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right. John McClain, the general presented by Horn Solutions, is on with us today in the 4 o'clock hour. It's Friday. He's always with us. I want your latest tweet, as people are jumping in. The Texans themselves put out a tweet saying that there has been discussions to continue their vacancy, of their head coaching vacancy, and they continued discussions with Jim Caldwell, who they've interviewed before, and this may be the first time Nick Caserio has got to interview him. And then the shocker, the backup quarterback, Josh McCown, who's never coached in the NFL ever, looked at as a candidate. Here, you just tweeted this, McClain. Josh McCown as a Texans new head coach over Leslie Frazier, Eric Bieniemy, Matt Eberflus, and Jim Caldwell. Give me a break. So the Josh McCown part of it, there is no chance at all. No chance. This is a legit interview in terms of they could be sold or wooed into having him as a head coach.
if he is the next head coach, how in the world could they possibly sell it with all the problems they have going on right now? I mean, there's just no way. There's no way. I may be wrong. It's also while we were in a break, I'm reading all these national NFL writers talking about it wouldn't be crazy. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Can I want to ask you a serious question because you I know you talk with a
lot. I thought all questions you asked me are serious.
not really, some of them. But
so I don't take any more. I don't take any more of them. It's serious.
This one's more serious than the other ones.
Go ahead.
Do the Texans care about how they're perceived? Like I know you have kind of connections with them and talk with them. Is that a priority for them? How they're viewed by the fan base, the media, other players and coaches in around the league? Do they care about that?
It's obvious they don't, right?
I just want to make sure of it. I don't want to accuse them.
It's like Nick Caserio. You know, we think, okay, he's GM for the first time. Man, he's involved in all this chaos and controversy. And then you think, oh, well, he came from the Patriots. And so I don't think the way they always do in New England, they bunkered down. And no matter what kind of criticism they got, what kind of investigation they were undergoing around the league, they just let it, it's like they were a turtle, and they pulled inside and let it just all bounce off the shell while they went about their business of trying to win, and they did it better than anybody.
John, what about, and this is, from a more serious perspective, but I mean,
wait a minute, you got a serious question too?
No, I don't, I just mean it, I mean, because this thing, this is ridiculous. I mean, I understand the not caring about – I do. I fully understand the not caring about what anybody outside the locker room thinks. And that's pretty much the message around the league is to not care what goes on or what's said outside the walls. But, I mean, we're dealing with an organization where there were some racially insensitive things that were said back in 2017. And because of the way that they've handled – the hiring process, just overall, that 2017 incident, those comments have been brought up on national TV again. And all of that in the past has been drummed up, right? And you're late to the party with Eric Bieniemy in terms of interviewing. And John, I know that it was Nick Caserio and the whole GM wasn't here yet. I get that. But just perception, you were looking at this now, and all of a sudden, you don't interview Robert Saleh, and all of a sudden you're interviewing a third string, I guess it's second string this year, a second string quarterback for the football team as a head coach candidate, and you're announcing that. That's a whole nother level of I don't give a rip what anybody's thinking, because there's no way in hell that having that stuff drummed up in the national media about your organization, there's no way you can spin that positive. And it's like they don't even care to the level of I mean, just total disregard for what's going on.
Why in the world would race be brought into this?
I don't know. You tell me. After
I don't bring race in it. Race has got nothing to do with it.
It doesn't matter about you and me, John. It doesn't matter. It's on national TV. Ron Clark brought it up a week ago.
Rats, you know what about anything on national TV? I care about the Chronicle and Sports Radio 610, no, I don't give a hoot.
John, I get that. I get that. I'm not coming at you personally. I'm saying I'm asking you about the Texans. How are you an organization with that incident happening in 2017, and whether you wanted them to or not, or whether it was national, the former players in the national media are bringing those things up, and you don't even interview the top candidates, and then you just – you go out and interview and announce you're interviewing Josh McCown. The perception, you got to see what I'm talking about, John. I'm not bringing.
They also announced that they've re-interviewed Jim Caldwell. Nobody's talking about that. See, bringing race into it, and I'm not going to defend them and go talk about having a black general manager for 12 years, his assistant, African-American, all the African-Americans they've had. I'm not going to do that, because what happened in 2017 doesn't have jack to do with squat, which is what happened in the day. And anybody brings race into it, they didn't interview Arthur Smith, they didn't interview Brian Daboll. I thought both of those guys would be leading candidates. Smith, of course, went to the Falcons, and Daboll's back to Buffalo. So there's a lot of guys they haven't interviewed besides Robert Saleh, who I thought they would interview. It's Nick Caserio's baby. He got here. He's now interviewed six people, seven. Now, he is personally interviewed. They've interviewed nine overall. And for people to bring race into it, that just blows me away.
John, no, for the organization to allow people to bring race into it is what I'm asking you about. I'm not asking you to defend the race or bring race into it or me to bring race into it. But to do things like this, like announce Josh McCown as a head coach candidate, and you're interviewing them, and not be completely aware of what's going on in the conversation nationally about minority coaches being hired, to just randomly interview a guy that's never coached before, and allow the national media to pour the gas on that fire. That, I mean, to not be, well, I'm not asking you about bringing race into it.
About the media,
you can be.
Nothing they can do about the media, not at all. You don't operate, Clint, based on what the media thinks. You, whether right or wrong, you do what you think. Now, if they hire Leslie Frazier, Eric Bieniemy, what are all those people going to say? They're not a racist organization. I just don't understand why race has got anything to do with it when, let's see, they interviewed Jim Caldwell, they interviewed Marvin Lewis, they've interviewed Eric Bieniemy and Leslie Frazier, and there's another African American in there, and David Culley, and that's why I just, now if they hire Matt Eberflus, then even though he is well qualified to be a head coach, then people are going to kill him. And to me, McCown, it's their own fault for putting him out there. But to me, I don't consider him a serious candidate at all. I'm more worried about who they're actually going to hire, not who they're interviewing. But they did it, and they put it out there, so they got to be prepared for criticism. But everybody's acting like they didn't mention Jim Caldwell in this when they announced both of them, and Caldwell getting a second interview, first with Nick Caserio. To me, that's much bigger than Josh McCown when it comes to the guy they're going to hire. That's just my opinion.
I do want to get to that point, but there is a thought that, John, and I hear what you're saying, but John, if Josh McCown, who does not have, especially we're in a time frame where people are discussing the issues with minority coaches, that there are two black coaches in this league, and that Josh might care about that they can run out Jim Caldwell with and Leslie Frazier. The thought that Eric Bieniemy, who in this field is the most accomplished and the most ready to be, by the way, coaches are hired, NFL coaches, he should be hired in any of these seven jobs more than anybody else that got hired in this cycle. To think that Josh McCown can just up and get an interview, and Eric Bieniemy, as accomplished as he is, we've never seen anybody with his resume not get hired. To think that he can just get an interview, of course there are going to be folks all around who are going to, the alarms are going to go off to like, what is that about? And I don't think the Texans are an organization. They haven't shown to be an organization with a lot of the things you just brought up with their history. But damn, that is one that stands out. How, because the things are going to come to me, and I'm going to tell you just personally, John, that come to my mind, there is no way that there is a black player or a black person who could be in Josh McCown's situation and just all of a sudden get a head coaching interview just coming off the field and have never coached before in the NFL. And that is going to be hard to explain. So I think there is an element in that place where the Texans are putting themselves in a situation where they look really, really bad, where it's hard to ignore the conversation how race could be involved in this. That's all.
Well, then what if they are an African-American coach? Then what are people going to say?
The deal, though, is it's like none of this would make sense. Like the fairness angle of this, even leading up to it, is just so disrespectful to them. To think that Josh McCown would even – come on. Like that's – yeah, if they hire one, that's great. But to think that Josh McCown would get an interview like this, it's almost a slap in the face. Like there's just no way. He has no credential that would allow him. There's nothing that he has done that would allow him to be the head coach. Nothing. To
You're
even
right.
Get an interview.
You're right. Absolutely, he won't be the head coach.
To get an interview. And I don't know. John McClain with us, presented by Horn Solutions. I want to get to the point that John made about Jim Caldwell. That's the more important thing. Hearing Jim Caldwell come back for a second interview, does this make John believe that they're more serious about Jim Caldwell? We'll talk about that coming up.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
We're here with John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. Text in 713-572-4610. Dear John, we do it at 4:45 each and every Friday. Dear John, text in any question you want to ask, sports-related or non-sports-related. As you've said, the one that jumps out to a lot of people because it's just craziness is Josh McCown. But Jim Caldwell did get potentially a second interview, or they've talked to him for a second time, or maybe even Nick Caserio talked to him for the first time. In your mind, does this change a little bit of how you feel about Jim Caldwell and his chances to be the hire?
I don't see him getting hired over Frazier or Bieniemy, but I know when he had his initial interview, when they interviewed Joe Brady, Marvin Lewis, and Jim Caldwell, that was the search committee, which I thought was a waste of time because the general manager's hiring the coach, and he wasn't there. And so Caldwell, because they liked him, when Caserio finished with his five, then he circled back and interviewed Jim Caldwell today. Caldwell won a Super Bowl ring as a head coach. He's won he went 11-5, 9-7, 9-7 with Detroit, which is pretty damn good, and got fired because GM wanted to bring in his buddy Matt Patricia, and he's been out because of health reasons, but he's healthy now and he's back. But I don't see him getting a job over those other two.
John, what about Brian Daboll? I think we and I know he made the announcement that he was gonna bow out of the head coach searches, but obviously we've talked a lot about Frazier and Bieniemy still playing and still not being able to be offered the job or accept the job. I guess it could be offered, but accept the job. Is Brian Daboll? He's a sleeper for me. I just still believe that him being the initial, I think, hot candidate out of the Texans clubhouse initially, with his ties to Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio at this point in time, he's not completely off of my radar. What do you think about Brian Daboll?
He's absolutely not going to be a head coach this year. He's gone back to the Bills, try again next year. All the national media had him gone to the Chargers. One of them said he was putting together his staff. Another one said he was putting together the most diverse staff in the league. Oops, one problem, they hired Brandon Staley. So he's gone back. He was on my list initially, as was Arthur Smith, as was Robert Saleh. I put them all out there, and I thought, sure, at least Saleh would get interviewed because he'd been here 6 years. But Caserio came in here with his list, and he's interviewed him, and whoever he decides on, he'll recommend Cal McNair, and Cal McNair will sign off on it.
So you don't think there's any way my thought was – It's easy to think that that's one. Let's just squash the noise. Let him go try to win a Super Bowl. The guys in house know everything about him already. I know Easterby is pretty close with Brian Daboll. So there's no concern. No, I mean, is there anything outside the report of him just saying he was out of the head coach search? Is there anything outside of that that makes you believe so strongly that he's done?
He's done for this year. He will not be head coach.
All right, John McClain with us, presented by Horn Solutions. With your understanding and covering the Texans and knowing Cal McNair and how long you've been covering the Texans, do you feel like that they're going to want to bring in whoever the guy is? You think they're going to want to bring them in for a second interview? Is that probably something we should look forward to see? Okay, they may not hire a person just based off of the one Zoom call they had, they would want to hear and talk to him one more time?
It would make sense that you would, and maybe all I know is they couldn't talk a second time to Frazier and Bieniemy because they're still playing. They could have already talked to Matt Eberflus twice. They could talk to Jim Caldwell twice. They could have talked to David Culley if they wanted to twice. But the key is, do you need to bring somebody in? You got to be 6 feet away from them. You got to wear a mask. Or if you're interviewing them on a Zoom call, you don't have to. Today, since so much is done so thoroughly on Zoom, maybe they don't want to bring them down here. Maybe they'll go fly to them as they did to go pick up Caserio and bring him down here for his interview. So I don't know when this will be over, but I believe, and I may be wrong, that's going to come down to the Buffalo defensive coordinator or the Chiefs offensive coordinator?
John McClain with us, presented by Horn Solutions. Real quick, Hank Aaron, he passed away today, and I'm wondering, did you ever get a chance to cover him? Were you ever around Hank Aaron?
I used to play like I was Hank Aaron in the backyard. Everybody else like Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Roberto Clemente, and I used to pretend I was him because I liked the fact he never put a batting helmet on till he got into the box, and then I liked his swing. So I pretended I was him in Little League, and then when I started at the Waco Peeper in 1973 and 74, they sent me down here to the Dome to do a column on him in his chase of Hank Aaron's record, and this is terrible. I was a junior at Baylor, and I came down here on a bus that they had in Waco for a tour in which they would bring a bunch of old people down there who couldn't drive. They would stop in Bryan for lunch and then go to the Dome. I didn't know anybody in the Dome, had a pass left for me. I went in there and sat there like an idiot, didn't talk to anybody. Nobody gave me the time of day. So I followed them down to the visiting dressing room. And I'm watching the media talk to people, and I'm talking to a couple of guys just listening, not talking, and I'm looking at Hank Aaron's empty locker, and I was all excited about asking him a question. He came to the locker. I walked over. My knees were knocking. I was shaking. I opened my mouth, and nothing came out, and then I couldn't say anything, and everybody ran over there, pushed me out of the way, so I never got to ask Hank Aaron a question, because I was too intimidated by his stardom. And, of course, he was such a great guy. I'm sure if I'd have said, "Mr. Aaron, I'm John McClain from the Waco Tribune Herald. Could I ask you a question?" I'm sure he would have said, "Absolutely." But I could not get out the words. And I'm sure people who've been listening to me on here since on the radio since 1976 would find that hard to believe.
Wow. So I'm guessing you never ran into him again to get a chance to ask that question.
Never got a chance to ask him that question. The only other time I was like that, the last game the Oilers played at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore in 83 before the team moved. I'm down on the sideline. They used to let the media go down the sideline with 2 minutes left so we didn't have to trip over fans going through the stands to get through onto the field because a lot of them didn't have elevators then. And I see Johnny Unitas, who I grew up wearing number 19, playing in the yard because he was my hero. And I see him over on the side. And I go over there, and I stand behind him, and I'm thinking, man, you're so short. You were a giant. And I want to say, Mr. Unitas, introduce myself. I'm a big fan. But I couldn't. And so he started to walk away when the game was over, and I walked kind of behind him. But I just didn't have the nerve to shake hands and introduce myself to Johnny U, and I was so embarrassed about it.
John McClain with us. Remember, text in 713-572-4610. Dear John, any question you want to ask, sports-related or non-sports-related. John, real quick, were you surprised at all that Anthony Weaver, the Texans, allowed him to be interviewed, and now he's eventually moved on to be the defensive line coach with Baltimore? We know they blocked Tim Kelly from being interviewed. Were you surprised that they didn't look at bringing him back or trying to maybe potentially keep him on for the next coach?
Ron, I know that he wasn't going to stay as defensive coordinator. And everybody they've interviewed, they've talked to them about their staffs, and they tell who they'd like to have. Then some of those guys get jobs with other teams. And I'm sure they said, "Would you be interested in Anthony Weaver as a coordinator?" And they said, "No, you know, I got my own guy." They said Tim Kelly for the offense, they'd probably say, yeah, knowing that that's who Deshaun Watson wants. So Anthony, he interviewed at Jacksonville with Urban Meyer, good friend of his, and then he went back to Baltimore. And if the best way to get back to being a defensive coordinator is go work for a perennially good franchise, and I still think Anthony Weaver is going to be a head coach in the NFL.
Anthony Weaver. All right. Yeah, it'd be sad to see him. He's going to do really well in Baltimore with that defensive line, and we'll see what they do. Text in 713-572-4610. Dear John, any questions you might have for John, sports related or non sports related. A lot of craziness. Have you ever experienced this, John? Is this the craziest off season or craziest time you've been involved in with covering a sports team? Because it seems like every week there is something, or hell, every day there is something with the Texans.
There is, and it's driven by social media, but it still doesn't compare to the 1993 Oilers, who had a player blow his brains out during the season, had one player not to go to a game to be there for the birth of his first son, which was unheard of at the time, created a national controversy, Babygate, and then Kevin Gilbride, the offensive coordinator, and Buddy Ryan, the defensive coordinator, fighting all season publicly on the radio. And then it ended with the last regular season game with Ryan trying to punch him out on the ESPN nationally televised shutout of the Jets. That was something every day. If there had been social media and talk shows like there are today, it would have been even bigger than it was. And they did a whole 30-for-30 on it, or it was the NFL Network, one of them. And I don't think this Texans offseason is going to be featured on the NFL Network or ESPN.
John, we've been about 40 minutes since we've updated the people, and they've heard your response to the most recent Houston Texans tweet from their official account. The Houston Texans have continued discussions about the vacant head coach position with Jim Caldwell and current backup quarterback Josh McCown. The national media took it and ran with it. They have said they didn't say discussions. They said interviews with each guy for the head coach position. John McClain, NFL Hall of Famer, is with us on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. John, when you hear that, you've had about an hour to wrap your head around it. When you hear that, what are your thoughts?
Well, they announced it. Nobody got the scoop on it. So I think it's ridiculous they would consider Josh McCown for a head coach. And I don't think it's serious, and I don't think he's going to get hired. It could be that one of these new coaches wants to keep him, like maybe in T.J. Yates' role as assistant quarterback coach, if indeed Tim Kelly's back as quarterback coach and offensive coordinator because of Deshaun Watson. I'm more interested in the fact that Jim Caldwell got a second interview, including the first one with Nick Caserio, and he's a candidate, but I still think it's going to come down to Fraser or Bieniemy.
All right, that's John McClain here with us. We do this each and every Friday at this time. Dear John.
Let's kick off the weekend by asking the most respected Houston sports writer of all time anything you want. Submit your questions to the text line 713-572-4610. Include hashtag Dear John along with name and city. And for today's Dear John, let's open up the mailbag.
All right, General, we're going to jump right into it here. Todd in Houston says, Dear John, does Aaron Rodgers have the most pressure than anybody playing this Sunday?
Todd, I think Tom Brady has more pressure because Brady's 43 years old, Rodgers 37. Brady's time's running out. He's one step from the Super Bowl, which would be a seventh Super Bowl victory. And so I think there's more on him. Rodgers is going to have several more chances, and Rodgers is going to be the MVP.
Yeah, I just feel like Rodgers has to win a second Super Bowl. Like, I think many people think he is one of the greats, but we know quarterbacks are really judged upon Super Bowls. And, man, he can't lose to 43-year-old Tom Brady at home. And I know Tom Brady is the greatest, but he's got the better team. He's got to win this game. I think he's got the most pressure.
All right, next we got Jason all the way out in Santa Fe. Jason wants to know, Dear John, with Gary Kubiak retiring, can you give us your best Kubiak story from when you covered?
One time we were at training camp, and Gary is about as devoted to Nagy as anybody I've ever seen. He'll never say it publicly because his best friend and brother-in-law is the baseball coach at UT. But one time we're at training camp, and a friend, Bob Moses, Long Arm Bob, bought me a Long Arm cap. He knew I wasn't going to wear it. But when Gary lined up to talk to the media afterward, I came up behind him and put it on his head. And so everybody's around looking, and he's wondering, what the heck? And he reached up there and pulled it down. And the only time I was ever scared of Gary Kubiak, who's my all-time favorite coach and one of the finest people I've ever known, was when he looked at me holding that Longhorn cap, knowing what I'd done, because I'll guarantee you, that's the first time Gary ever, and last, that he'd ever had anything burnt orange on his body.
Can't blame him. That's an ugly color, John. No one should really wear that.
Easy, easy in there,
yeah,
Tyler.
Gig him, Tyler.
Absolutely, gig him. All right, next up we got Rocky in Dayton. Says, Dear John, do you believe Wade Phillips deserves a shot at being a coordinator somewhere next season?
Rocky, I do. I think Wade, he wants to all-time great defensive coordinators. I believe he's worthy of being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so I'd like to see him get a chance. But, man, it would have to be, to me, a young coach who need an experienced hand on that side of the ball. But the NFL is better off when Wade Phillips is in it, just like it was better off when his daddy was in it.
All right. Alex in North Houston. Dear John, who do you have winning this weekend's conference championship games?
Alex, I did not go out on a limb. I took both of the winners, and I took Green Bay by 2 points and Kansas City by one. But the truth is, if the visitor won either game, I won't be surprised. I'm guessing, without doing research, these are the best championship games we've ever had for quarterbacks. The two young guys who are going to take over the league from guys like Rodgers and Brady, what a treat. It's a privilege to watch them.
Clint told me earlier this week, even if Mahomes didn't play, he still thought the Chiefs would probably win the game.
I think the Chiefs blow the doors off the Buffalo Bills.
After what Chad Henne did on fourth down, I wouldn't put it past him.
Just gotta forget about that interception.
That's the worst interception I've ever seen thrown.
Threw
in
a
my
punt.
Life.
It happens.
It's a moot point because Mahomes is playing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got Charles in Mont Bellevue. Says, Dear John, if Deshaun Watson ends up forcing a trade, does Cal McNair become more disliked in the city of Houston than Bud Adams?
Well, Bud did it over a long period of time, and it depends on what happened with the trade. If he absolutely could force a trade by doing a scorched earth policy like James Harden, I'd trade him to the Jets who have the second pick. You'd have a choice of 5 quarterbacks who could go in the first round. You can't wait till next year because the draft doesn't look as good for quarterbacks, but I'd get 2 ones, 2 twos, and a defensive starter or two out of that deal.
John, what about, I mean, is this, I'm going to guess your answer is no since you just said that, but I mean, does this have a chance to, if it does happen, come down to them trading him to be a Jimmy Johnson, Herschel Walker caliber trade, or is that once in a lifetime?
Happening? That was a once in a lifetime deal, and because they did it, and people didn't realize because Jimmy didn't disclose it at the time, all those veteran players he got, the deal said if he cut them, he got number one picks. So of course he knew from the moment he made the deal, he was going to get number one picks. Nobody would do that again. But if you want a great quarterback who's proven, like Deshaun, if you're giving up 2 number ones for some of these players like Jalen Ramsey, it's got to be, to me, twice as expensive.
Yeah, I hope, John, we just stay away from any kind of blockbuster like that personally. But that's just me. All right, we got Barry in Channelview. Says, Dear John, do you believe Bill O'Brien deserves less blame in Houston after seeing the events unfold over the last several months?
Good question.
Bill O'Brien was in charge of personnel. He was in charge of coaching. He made trades. What's happened the last month, a lot of it had to do with losing. If they were 10-6 coming off a division title, or they had rebounded and won under Romeo, they wouldn't be having all these issues. So, no, I think Bill deserved a lot of credit for winning 4 division titles in 5 years of 2 playoff games. But, hey, he got fired. They moved on. Now it's Nick Caserio's baby. And there's no personnel director more deserving of a general manager's position. Maybe he'll do well. Maybe he won't. But I'm willing to give him a chance to see what he's going to be able to do for this franchise, starting with the hiring of the head coach.
That's right, baby. I'm willing to give him a chance, too, just not Josh McCown. John McClain, who joins us each and every Friday, presented by Horn Solutions, thank you so much for joining us. You seem to pop up just in the right times for us on these Fridays, John. Have a safe weekend, and we always enjoy you.
Ron, Clint, and Tyler, you guys, thank you very much for having me. You have a great weekend, and stay safe.
All right, that's John McClain, once again presented by Horn Solutions. Coming up, we'll give you the latest on the coaching search, and we thought we were settled in on the latest until the Houston Texans had taken off a left turn on the road. We'll get into that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.